Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, 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 yasha Allah. Good morning, Baba Kwatawab, which means good morning in the Paleo Ancient Hebrew that we speak. I am your host, your brother, your friend, as always, Tazi Pi. Welcome to the show, y'all. Hope everybody's healthy. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I've got a lot of stuff I want to cover. I ain't been on in like 2 weeks, man, so there's been a lot of stuff happening in the past 2 weeks. Apologize for that, y'all. Life calls. I had to make some dough at the slave. But welcome, y'all. Welcome, man. I'm glad to be back. And once again, thanks for tuning in. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Tazi Pi Tuesdays, Tazi Pi Tuesdays, Tazi Pi Tuesdays every Tuesday, man. So let's get this started, y'all. And I want to open up with, like I always do at this time, Psalm chapter 118 and verse 24, which reads, "This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Good or bad, happy or sad, man, whether you're going through it or you just came up out of it, give Most High all the praise, all the glory, because he wanted you to go through it for a purpose, for a reason, only to bring you out on the other side of it better than what you were before, man. I want to send shots out, man, to Ambrosia, man, up in NYC. This is Patrick Dale's company that he owns. I'm sending shots out to him, man, because, man, I've been good, man. I've been good as far as, you know, if you've been listening in for any amount of time, or if you know me personally, you know that I had some bouts with my prostate about a year ago, man. But, man, prostate straight, you know. Had to change up my diet, change a lot of things up. But I'm sending out shots to Ambrosia, man, because I still drink the tea that the brother prescribed and they sent me when I called. And, man, it's, like I said, man, everything is mucho tawab. to steal that phrase from Kwata Zop. Shout out to you. And I see y'all too, man, with the street speaking, Lock of Ra, holding it down, brother. You were in rare form, man. It was good to see you back healthy. Good to see you back at the mic. You did your thing, brother. And that, also, that sign y'all got, oh, my goodness. Whoever put that sign together on religion and the dates that the religions were started, man, big ups to you, to y'all, whoever put that together. That sign is fire, man. I can appreciate. But I love to see stuff like that, man, because you don't see a lot of that go on in street teaching this day and age. I mean, you just hear brothers talking a lot without actually bringing out the proof to what they're saying, man. So big ups to you brothers for doing that, man. Keep it up. Shout out to the brothers down in H-Town. The brothers in VA, the brothers in Rochester, my brothers out there grinding hard on the daily, and ABQ, the Kurt, Mashaba and the crew, all the boys, the young men coming up, getting life lessons, getting blessed, enjoying the brotherhood. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to my San Antonio brethren, grinding as well, teaching this word. Check us out on YouTube. All of our connected ISBHPK camps. So with that said, y'all, like I said, I got a lot to cover. Let me dive into this. Let me see, I'm starting a little bit later today. So 10:30, 11:30, 12. All right, so 12:30 will be my end time today because the show is 2 hours. The water, once again, Mashallah, for hooking up that broadcast. Also, I want to put this in y'all ear, man. I appreciate y'all supporting and listening to Blog Talk, getting your daily spiritual meat and what have you. But I'm going to ask a favor of y'all, man. If you can, if you find it in your heart to contribute, man, to give alms, to give charity, to keep Blog Talk Radio going, y'all. And we accept all donations, man, just to keep this thing going. You can hit me up directly, 314-482-9110, or you can hit Mashaba up. Let me get his number real quick. Ooh. You can hit Mashaba up at 210-784-8463. So So 210-784-8463. That's Mashaba. And my number once again is 314-482-9110, man. Hit us up if you do find it in your heart you want to donate, contribute to keep this Blog Talk thing going. Your donations, your alms will be much appreciated. All right. So let's get to the first article, man. I don't even front. I was just talking to my rib about this. But right now, man, Greg Abbott and what's his name? Rand Paul? They're my niggas right now. I ain't on even front. And I will tell you why, man. If y'all not familiar with Ron Paul, man, he been on all the pro-jab people's heads, man, talking about the science of it and coming with facts. And remember, this is the same cat that he was part of that hearing that they held with lying-ass Fauci about how the virus originated. But he's been banging on these cats, man. So he's been banging on them. And then Greg Abbott is following suit, coming right behind them. And I'm going to get to this article in a second, but and a couple of articles I want to get to dealing with Greg Abbott. Man, let me just read it. So this is from Reuters. I hope I'm saying it right, man. I be butchering stuff. Texas governor bars all COVID-19 vaccine mandates in state, rips Biden for bullying. So what Greg Abbott just did, the governor of Texas, was he barred all the vaccine mandates. It says Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott responding to what he called bullying by the Biden administration on Monday, barred all COVID-19 vaccine mandates in the state by any entity, including private employers. Abbott's move sets him up for a clash with President Joe Biden, a Democrat, who last month called on businesses nationwide to order their workers to be vaccinated or lose their jobs. At least several thousand people have since been fired for refusing to comply. So it says several thousand. I didn't know the numbers were that high, but I guess so. It says, in another instance of federal overreach, the Biden administration is now bullying many private entities into exposing COVID-19 vaccine mandates, causing workforce disturbances that threaten Texas' continued recovery from the COVID-19 disaster, Abbott said in an executive order. Right, and like I said, man, they getting busy right now, and they still eat them like stuff. They still Esau. So you got to keep in mind that Esau always has a hidden agenda, even though, and I'm cheering this on because this is good for a lot of us, because y'all know we're basically the workforce, blacks, Hispanics, so-called Indians or Native Americans. Y'all know we're the workforce. So, you know, this thing affects us more so than any other nation, any other ethnicity. It affects us more, us Israelites, man. And plus, I know a lot of brothers and sisters who are in Israel that know that Israel were battling with this issue. And as I said before on previous shows, hit me up, y'all, please. Please. I mean, this is, I'm here to serve. And I'm not trying to big up myself or pat myself on the back, but I am an ordained minister through the government, y'all. I'm recognized. So if you have an exemption form, your job has an exemption form, you can ask for it for religious exemption, and I can sign off on it, y'all. Hold on for a second. And I'm not charging anything, man. I'm charging love. That's what I'm charging. That's what I want in return, man, just your love. All right, but look, that's what's going on in here in the state of Texas as far as vaccine mandates are concerned. So Abbott just made them basically legal, man. And that's subject to scrutiny and subject to change. So that's why I'm putting it out about the exemption forms, y'all. Because remember, all of this is the Most High's doing. You know, and you hear a lot of conspiracy people talk about, okay, the virus was man-made, the works of Satan, these evil people, this and that, back and forth. And yes, true. All of it's true. But remember what the Most High said in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39. He says, I kill, I heal, I make alive. The Most High is in control of all of this. He's orchestrating this. So you want to talk about the coronavirus killing millions of people? No, it was the Most High. And he still is killing millions of thousands of people, man. The Most High is in control of everything. So let me see. Hold on for a second, y'all. There we go. All right, so that's that on that. I want to jump to this other article. Matter of fact, wait a minute. Before I even get into that, I got some scriptures on that right there, man. So let's go to Amos chapter 9, verse 8. Amos chapter 9, verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom. Matter of fact, hold on, I'm sorry, y'all. Let me read this again. Let me regroup. Amos chapter 9, verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, said the Lord. So the Most High is letting us know that his eyes, he sees everything. And he said his eyes is on the sinful kingdom. It wasn't kingdoms, plural. It's kingdom singular, which lets you know he's talking about one specific kingdom. Now, trip off of this. He says that he will not destroy it. Hold up. Let me read it again. He says, behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom. He says, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. And that's what the Most High is doing right now, man. He's tearing down their economy. He's tearing down their wealth. He's just ripping it to shreds, ripping it to pieces, man. And I'm going to get to that later on in the news. But I want to focus on what's happening right now with this kingdom that's at hand. So the Most High said, I'm going to read the bottom of that precept. He said, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, said the Lord. So, all right. When he says he would not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, when he says utterly destroy, he's talking about all the Israelites. He's not going to utterly destroy all of us, but some of us are going to perish. Some of us are going to die, man. Like it tells you in, I forgot the book. I'm going to have to find it too real quick. Two-thirds of Israel are going to be cut off, y'all. Two-thirds of us have to die. Let me get that. Yes, in Zechariah chapter 13. I'm coming right back to Amos 2, y'all. Let's get Zechariah chapter 13. And verse 8. Yeah, that's it. It says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, said the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire. Talking about us that are left alive, the Israelites that are left alive. I ain't going to just arrogantly say us, because hell, it might not be me. But he says that the third that's left alive will be brought through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined. Meaning what? You're going to get cleaned up, man. For the ones that do make it, that think that they've been doing a good job, that they on point, that they already clean, the Most High is letting us know there's still going to be more cleaning to be done. You know, and it's impossible, man. I ain't going to say it's impossible. Let me not use that terminology because you have a lot of people self-condemning. I'm going to say it's very difficult in this day and time to remain spotless, squeaky clean, man. It really is. From the time we open our eyes, from the time we close our eyes at night, there are some evil and some filthiness lurking. Most of it is by way of the computer that's in our hand, and just being real about it. But the Most High is letting us know that the third that makes it, they're going to be refined. It says, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God or my power, man. Going back to Amos, because that's why I jumped to Zechariah. This goes right with it. Amos chapter 9 and verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, said the Lord. Meaning all of us are not going to die, but a lot of us are going to die. Verse 9, he says, for lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. So, and I was talking to Mashab about this weekend, man, as a matter of fact. We were talking about how brothers are waking up, and you're seeing the movement that, man, it gives me chills when I see it. And I was also talking to the brother Kwaku Zop when we were at the feast, because he was playing some new music from Kanye's Donda album, and he was talking about how much he liked it because he bleeped all the cuss words out, and he was talking about the Most High. I mean, even him in his ignorant state, and he still ain't on the right path to the Most High, but like Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 tell us that our people have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He has a zeal right now, and it was monumental to see these other rappers come together and be talking about the Most High and be talking consciously. And, you know, me and Quartz, I was talking, I'm like, man, that's good because he opened up an arena for these brothers to do something that they normally wouldn't do or they don't get a chance to do because signed to these record labels, they have to be talking about, you know, booty shaking and adultery and selling dope and killing niggas. You know, it's in their contract. The tattoos on their face and all that stuff be in their contracts, y'all. You don't believe me? Do some research. That's how they get paid. But it was like, wow, man. He's giving these brothers an arena opportunity to talk about the Most High, man. It's beautiful. And then you see other people, you know, coming out, other entertainers and celebrities, you know, taking stands against things. I don't know if y'all heard about Kyrie Irving recently is taking a stand. He said he ain't getting the vaccine, man. Now, he's not an Israelite, not to my knowledge. As far as I know, he's in the conscious community. But it's just, it's fun. It's a joyous occasion to watch brothers that are being revived, like it tells you in Ezekiel chapter 37, can these bones live, man? And now you're seeing, hopefully, from a spiritual mindset that, yeah, it's possible that a lot of Israel is waking up and we're going to make it, man. A lot of us going to make it. A lot of us going to perish, though. But like I said, it's a beautiful thing to watch. But going back to my point in dealing with this nation, this sinful kingdom, like it tells you in verse 8 in Amos chapter 9, verse 9 says, for lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel. among all nations, which brings back to my point. I was talking about the conversation I was having with Mashaba. It's like the Most High right now is saying, this is the time for you to choose up. Choose up right now. Because all the things that's going on is pushing us in that direction where you, our people have to make a choice. Are you going to serve the Most High, or are you going to serve this kingdom? Choose up. But we know that this kingdom is has become the house of every foul caged beast. This is the kingdom of Satan right now. You don't believe me, man? Look, I had no intentions on doing this, but I got the time, so I'm just going to prove what I'm talking about when I say that this kingdom truly belongs to Satan. Let's get Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, and he's talking to Yahushua, command this stone that it be made bread. And Yahushua answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word, but by every word of God. It says, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain, shewed unto him, this is part I want to get to, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, listen, y'all, will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. So what is Satan saying that he owns, that he's in control of, that the Most High gave him, because he said it was delivered unto him? Who gave it to him? The Most High did. What is he saying that was delivered unto him? He says all the kingdoms. The whole world was given to him. So whose kingdom is this currently? It's Satan's. The Most High is telling us that we got to make a decision. We got to choose up right now. Whose side are we on? So I'm going to continue reading in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now listen to this, verse 7. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. So what's the payoff? What's the conditioning of getting the whole world, establishing yourself in this world, of making millions, of being famous, of being popular? You got to serve Satan, man. And the bus spot, you have to serve Satan, Shatan. So the Most High is telling us to pick a side. So going back to Amos chapter 9, verse 9, it says, for lo, I will command and I will shift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is shifted in a sheaf. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. When the Most High is talking about this shift, he's talking about what he's talking about in Zechariah the 13th chapter. The two-thirds and the third. He's going to shift who belongs to him, who's ready to fight for him, who's on the side of righteousness, and who belongs to Satan, the spirit of Satan, and who's on Satan's side. Now listen, verse 10. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which shall say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. Y'all see this, right? So the Most High is letting you know that a bunch of Israelites that choose to be on the side of Satan, that say ain't nothing going to happen to them, they're going to perish. They're going to die. They're going to fall as it pertains to this sinful kingdom. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Wait a minute, did I get all of that? Let me see. I think that was all I wanted from there, but let me just make sure. Yeah, that was it. That was it. Now, trip off of this. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 36. And it says, because in the chapter, who was the king? Was it Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah, it was Nebuchadnezzar that had a vision, and Daniel broke down this vision. Now, he gives the king's dream an allegory, and then in verse 36, he just says, okay, man, let me tell you what this means. So we're in Daniel chapter 2, verse 36. He says, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Matter of fact, yeah, it was Daniel, Meshach, Abednego. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. It says, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So he's breaking the dream down to him, letting them know, hey, the Most High put you in power. All the power that you have, that you've established, comes from the Most High, not from you. 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass. When we talk about that kingdom that came after the Babylonians, it was the Persian and Mede Empire, but he said it was going to be inferior to his kingdom. And that's why when you read the dream, the different types of metal changed. They changed from fine, strong metals to weaker metals. He says, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another and a third kingdom. This third kingdom is talking about the Greeks coming into power under Alexander. It says, of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And he did. He conquered a known living world. Took him what? I think it was 17 years. I know it was quick. That's why he wore that leopard skin cap, man. That's why he referred to it the leopard, because the Greeks moved with such quickness. They moved very expeditiously in their campaign to conquer the known living world, and Alexander was famous for that. It says, we shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom. Now, the fourth kingdom is, I guess, the residue of the Greeks, which were the Romans. That's why it was called the Greco-Roman Empire, because they were one and the same. But it's still talking about the Edomites, so-called white people. And then it goes on to extend to America, the last or fourth kingdom that came from the Greco-Roman Empire. And you can see the similarities in the governments, because they had, what, a Senate in Rome, right? They had a Capitol Hill in Rome. They have one here in America. They have a Senate also. Just the similarities, letting you know that it's the same people. And then you can ask any Edomite, they'll tell you that their history basically started with Alexander the Great or Alexander the Greek. They know these. They know these facts. But America is also that fourth kingdom that came from the Greco-Roman Empire. So verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron break it in pieces and subdue all things, iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And the Romans, the Roman Empire was fierce, man, mainly because of what? Its military. But what is America known for? Its military. Why is America still so strong? Even though their economy and their morals is blatantly declining. But why is America still strong? Because America can still come and smash you. They still got nukes. They got more damn nukes than the Russians do. Look it up. That's what the Cold War was about, y'all. They were racing. The race to arms was also called the race to arms or the arms race. It was America trying to gear up and have nukes placed in strategic locations surrounding Russia. So if they did come to nuclear warfare, America would blow Russia off the map and all its territories. So verse 41, and whereas thou saw the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay, this is the part I want to get to, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. And what's happening now, like the article I just read, and this one I'm piggybacking off of, or what the brothers say now, lammy backing off of, of the article I just read about Biden, right? They're divided. So you have this Republican-Democrat stuff that's going back and forth, and this affecting the whole country. Because what? They're divided. It lets you know that the Bible is truth, man. The Bible is fact. and it's talking about America. It says, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. Like I said, what's the iron? It's American military. It says, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong because of what? It's military, and partly broken. Why? Because the morals have faded. The togetherness has faded. They're at each other's throats in this country. And listen to this. It says, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And that's what you see going on in the Edomite, white folks, Caucasian community, whatever you want to call them. We know who these people are, the red people, who we loosely call white. What's going on in their communities? This is why you see so much interracial dating going on right now. It says they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And they are. Bible is fact, man. It says, but they shall not cleave one to another. You see that? It says they shall not cleave one to another. They fighting each other right now. They not just fighting over this vaccination stuff. They fighting over climate control. They fighting over damn abortion's rights. I'm going to get to in a second. They fighting over everything. It says, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. That's the metaphor it gave, the iron mixed with the clay. They don't go together. The Most High is letting you know that this last kingdom, this fourth kingdom, the latter end of the Greco-Roman Empire, America, is weak now. It's weak, and we can see the proof in all the things that are happening, all the current events. Hold on for a second, y'all. Bear with me, y'all. I'll be right back. All right, y'all, I'm back. So, here we go. Now, I want to touch on this next article, too. Listen to this, y'all. It says, IMF slashes U.S. growth forecast and warns of risk, of rising risk to the global economy. Y'all hear this? If you're not familiar with IMF, IMF stands for the International Monetary Fund. And what these cats are famous for doing is destabilizing governments. What they do is they'll come in and they'll fix government's infrastructure, and then they'll charge them an outrageously high amount of interest on the loans and the things that they provided them with. And when they can't pay, they'll just come in and basically take over the country. So they do this. The World Bank do this as well. These are criminal entities masquerading as legitimate organizations. So they forecasted that the world's economy is in for it, y'all. All right? It says the global economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic is weakening and risks are rising. According to the International Monetary Fund, the IMF on Tuesday slashed its 2021 growth forecast for the United States by 1.4% to 6%, the biggest reduction suffered by any G7 economy in its latest world economic outlook. The cut reflects disruptions to supply chain and softening consumption in the third quarter, the IMF said. And I don't know if y'all heard about this, man, but they're talking about it all over media outlets about how there is a shortage of supplies for the demonic Christmas season that's coming up. And they're encouraging people to start ordering their Christmas crap now. So that's what's going on. And that's what this article is talking about. It says the revision comes days after Goldman Sachs cut its growth forecast for the U.S. economy this year and next. So next year too. Weaker consumption spending and the winding down of the government's COVID-19 relief program. So all that money that the government gave out to stimulate the economy didn't work. It's like, you know, man, and I hope you're not out there as an ignorant Israelite hoping that things will get better, because when you're hoping that things in this country will get better, what you're actually hoping for is to stay in captivity, man. Now, I know that this is going to get hard for us, and it ain't going to be easy to make it through this. But at the same time, we want these things to happen, because if they don't, then our Savior to give us what we really are longing for, man, which is sovereignty, which is a better life, which is prosperity. He's coming to give us that. But if we keep hoping that this place and this problems get better, we're just hoping to stay in this captivity. That way Yahweh Shai can't come get us. He can't save us out of the hands of our enemies. Remember, these people are, in fact, our enemies, and that we were brought here for our punishment, not to be chilling out and trying to build up, y'all. You got to remember that, man. Make sure your mind and your heart is in the right place. So back to the article. It says the IMF now expects the global economy to grow 5.9% in 2021, 0.1 percent points lower to remain unchanged. Despite the moderate revise, the organization said that the economic risks have increased. Rapid spread of Delta and the threat of new variants have increased uncertainty about how quickly the pandemic can be overcome, it said. Policy choices have become more difficult, confronting multidimensional challenges, subdued employment growth, rising inflation, food insecurity, the setback to human capital accumulation, and climate change with limited room to maneuver. Now, this is so interesting, man. And Michelle, we be talking about this all the time, man. Hopeful, excited, you know, waiting. But y'all remember, it was 10 plagues that hit Egypt, right? 10. And I got the 10 listed. So the first plague that hit Egypt was the water turning into blood, right? Water. Water is very essential to livelihood. Our bodies are made, I think, 75-80% water. You know, you can live longer without food than you can water. you know. And that hits me every time I fast, you know, especially on the Day of Atonement when we're just, you know, not, we're doing a dry fast. Because I'm more thirsty than I'm hungry. But just think about that, y'all. And what's happening now with this global warming stuff? They're talking about the water. They're talking about how the Amazon rainforest has been depleted. And you talk to scientists and biologists, and they'll tell you that the Amazon forest is like the lungs of the world. And you think about your lungs, how you breathe, right? So they're saying that the Amazon forest is essential to the world. But they've lost a bunch of it. Go and do your research, man. Check it out. A lot of the Amazon forest is going away because of global warming. Now, what else comes with global warming? This, going back to the list of the 10 plagues that hit Egypt, it says frogs. Remember the Most High had the frogs overtake the land? That was something out of the ordinary, something that was unheard of. What do frogs do to crops? He also had the lice. That's the third one. Then the flies. What do all these things do to crops? They kill them. They dismantle them. They destroy crops. I don't know if y'all been paying attention, but a couple of years back they was talking about the bees and how the bees were dying off. Matter of fact, I think it's Netflix got a documentary. I forgot what the name of it is. But they talk about how the bees were dying off and they couldn't figure out why. The Most High is bringing this kingdom to his knees, but bees pollinate all of our food just about. I say at least 90 to 95% of your fruits and vegetables, man. Everything is basically pollinated by bees. They call them pollinators. But if they're dying and disappearing, then what are we eating? Genetically modified food, right? Dead food. That's what I call it. So then it says livestock pestilence, meaning animals, the animal disease. Remember the Most High struck all the livestock in Egypt? The same way he's hitting this place. And my rib had brought it to my attention how the price of chicken was going up. And then my other rib, she went to the store and she was looking for chicken thighs and chicken wings. She couldn't find none but chicken legs, man. Chicken legs in abundance, but not the normal pieces of chicken. I'm bringing this out to show the similarities between Egypt and America and how the Most High is plaguing this place. It says boils. Boils is a plague, or what we might call a virus, man. Look at the virus. Look how many people that the coronavirus has killed. Then it says hail. Hail is what? Once again, global warming. Locust, global warming. Now get this. Darkness and the killing of the firstborn children. I want to deal with the darkness, man. I don't know if y'all seen gas prices, but gas prices is almost $3.20. I'm sorry. Gas prices are almost $3 here in San Antonio. I think the last one I seen was like $2.80. I said 320. I jumped ahead of myself because that's the projected price that they're saying gas is going to be nationwide. And they also own that because I heard that California has $8 a gallon gas prices right now. That's crazy. And the reason being because there's a shortage of coal. And there's a shortage of natural gas right now. So a lot of people, a lot of countries are talking about switching over to oil for fuel, which is going to do what? It's going to raise the prices, right? The prices are going to skyrocket. It says my point in the fact that energy is becoming scarce because China is already having blackouts. I don't know if y'all heard about that. They said that Europe is going to follow. Y'all remember the floods that they had in Europe. I don't know if y'all familiar. Go do your research. The floods they had all over through Europe, man. And I believe China caught some of that too. But they're talking about China is implementing blackouts and what they call it, like a curfew on electricity because there's a shortage of it. And I know y'all didn't look at y'all CPS bill because electricity is going up. And we're familiar with them rolling blackouts we had last winter down here in Texas. Well, there's going to be more of that, y'all. So get your mind prepared. I hope you got your flashlights and your lamps ready. I hope you got you some wood if you got a fireplace. But most of all, I hope you get your spirit right, man, for judgment, for the end of this captivity, for this crap to be over. But that's why I want to highlight where it says darkness, man, because people are literally going to be in the dark, man. And just like in ancient Egypt. But the point I want to also bring out is this. If you were with your people in Goshen, which is Egypt, you were safe. You were safe. Like Zephaniah says, gather yourselves together. Gather yourselves together, O nation not desired, for the decree bring forth before the fierce anger of the Lord. Then it goes on to say, it might be, you might be here, right? Why it says you might be here? Because you're gathered with your people. And we know that the Most High says in Psalm chapter 133, he says in the unity he commands the blessing. That's why our blessing is us coming together. Let me get this too in Exodus chapter 12 to show what the Most High was doing when he was plaguing Egypt. Because I don't think a lot of people really understand this, because it's happening right now. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all, this is the part I want to get to, and against all the gods, little g's, execute judgment. I am the Lord. So what was the Most High attacking in Egypt? He was attacking their power structure, which was what? Their gods. Everything they believed in. What's this country got? Capitalism, money. That's why they put on their money. Who? What? In God we trust, right? What God? Because it sure ain't the Most High. All their holidays is centered around what? Deities, gods. You got Christmas or Halloween coming up. I don't know what God that is, but I'm sure it's attached to a God. Wickedness. You know, I had had class with my children on Friday. We was discussing this, and my son was talking about how he thought it was fun and this and that. And I was like, I had to remind, like, okay, son, when is being scared fun? You know, I had to give him the example. If somebody rolled up on you and your mom with a pistol and pistol whipped your mama and robbed y'all and your mama was scared, you think that would be fun? You call that fun? No. How about you just say you think that Halloween could be fun, but that's being scared. They call being scared fun. I done been scared a lot of times, and I'm going to tell you, that shit wasn't fun. I done been robbed at gunpoint before. Wasn't nothing fun about that. But let this place tell it. That's fun. Damn graveyards and people's yards. I seen this damn yard. They had, I guess, I don't know, some type of statues or something they had put together. It was like three witches in the circles holding hands. Wicked as hell, man. And then what about Christmas, the celebration of Nimrod's birth or his reincarnation, supposedly? Then New Year's. Then the Valentine's Day. All these wicked-ass holidays are celebrating their gods. That's why the Most High is going to smash this place just like he smashed Egypt, man. It's the same concept. So the last plague he brought forth was the killing of the firstborn. Now, trip off of this, man. Let me get it. Did I have that one? Yeah, I do got that one. Here we go. Federal appeals court temporarily reinstates Texas 6-week abortion ban. Greg Abbott, once again, you my nigga right now. Listen to this, man, because they've been going back and forth, man. These people are petitioning the courts to kill their damn kids, man. That's what I'm going with this. Check this out. Yeah. Because that's what the hell they are, man. They some damn murderers. How you back and forth with people about killing your damn kids, man? What the hell is wrong with people, man? You know, what the hell is wrong with this nation? But, you know, they are a bunch of murderers. It tells us that in St. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, a thief come not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, man. And that's what they've been doing. Now they arguing about killing kids, trying to, these women, standing up talking about it's their body, it's their right. No, you don't have the right to murder. You ain't got the right to murder people, and it shows you how often absurd and crazy this damn place is, because in the scriptures, to be barren and not have no kids was a punishment. Now you got these women running around celebrating killing their kids. They're actually fighting for it. They should be ashamed, but they ain't. It's a shameless-ass place. And our people have learned wickedness from this damn place. Let me get this Genesis chapter 11 and verse 30. It says, but Sarah was barren. She had no children. Now you remember, if you don't, go back and read it. She couldn't have no sister. I mean, no kids. Oh, it says... Wow, the water, Mashaba, for the article. Mashaba just sent an article. It says, I'm a California dock worker racing record cargo ships backlog. Wow. I'm a California dock worker facing record cargo ship backlogs. It'll be catastrophic if things get worse. It says, the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are experiencing record backlogs as cargo ships wait to dock. They can't even dock. The ports handle nearly half of inbound containers for the U.S., making the backlog a huge issue. A California longshoreman told Insider what it's been like to work the ports. They chose to remain anonymous due to their job, but their identity has been verified by Insider. This is their story as told to freelance writer Jenny Powers. A California longshoreman told Insider what it's been like to work the California ports during record backlog. They chose to remain anonymous due to their job, but their identity has been verified by Insider. This is their story as told to freelance. We just read that. I've been working as a longshoreman at California San Pedro Bay Port complex for close to 15 years, and the only thing I know for sure about the congestion here is that everyone is blaming someone else. They falling apart, man. They divided. Hey, remember what Christ said, man? I should have got that one. It's in Matthew 12:25. He says, a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand, or a house divided against itself shall not stand. And that's where they are right now, man. We at the end, y'all. We get real, real close to it. It says, the shipping companies blame us for not covering skilled labor jobs, but there's the ones that approve training for those types of jobs. Then we turn around and blame COVID-19 for the influx of online orders. Consumers see the ships backed up and say, we're not unloading fast enough. Truckers complain about the lack of chassis at the port, which limit the number of containers that can be carried out of the yard. It's a total blame game. Y'all see this, man? The water for this, Mashaba. They're falling apart. And I don't know if y'all heard, the post office is talking about you complaining about getting your mail late now. Well, it's about to get worse. I think they were saying 10 days now before you get your mail. This thing got so bad, they delivered mail on Sundays now. I don't know if y'all seen that. Because what a lot of people don't know is that Amazon and all these other places, they use the post office also. FedEx uses the post office, UPS uses the post office, and a lot of these people are overworked, underpaid. They can't keep employees. Places falling apart. But anyway, back to this abortion thing. So did I read Genesis? Yeah, Sarah couldn't have kids, y'all remember. And y'all remember that Abraham beckoned to the Lord and asked the Most High, like, man, give me a kid. And Sarah was so desperate, she did what? She went and got another woman and said, here, marry my husband and bring forth some kids for him. Because she knew that's what a woman was put here for, man. I'm not trying to belittle a woman. I ain't trying to talk down to a woman. I'm just being real, man. It's factual information. Women were put here to procreate, raise children, and be a helpmeet to their husband, man. And ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but society will tell you everything's wrong with that because society, this country, tells you you got to be independent, got to have your own. You can do the same job as a man. All this other nonsense. You know, it's just like this MMA fighter was talking about. He says, if you've ever been a man, you have no business in the ring with a woman. And he's right. And I'm going to show you the hypocrisy of this damn place. They'll let these trainees, these leather people do that, but let a brother go upside his woman's head and let that woman call the police. They're going to lock their brother ass up for what? Domestic abuse. But you got a man who claims he changed into a woman, beating up on another woman for entertainment, and y'all paying him for the shit. Huh. It's a great time to be an American, huh? Anyway, back to my point. Women killing kids. So let's get Genesis 25. Genesis 25 and 21, right? And it says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. To entreat is mean to make a request. He's making a request to his God, his power, on the behalf of his wife so she might have some kids. It says because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. It says this was a joyous occasion. The Most High opened her womb and blessed her. Let's not forget Samuel's mother. What does she want? This woman wanted kids so bad. She was fasting all the time. She was crying all the time. And she had to make a deal with the Most High. She's like, look, Lord, if you give me a son, he's yours from the day he's born. And she kept her vow. And Samuel was born. She gave him to the Most High. She weaned him, and she took him straight to Eli, the other prophet, and he basically brought Samuel up. And then the Most High opened her womb, and she had, like, I think, three other boys or something like that. But to not have kids used to be a punishment. Now you have kids, and now they're burdens, so you're murking them. You murder them, you kill them. Crazy as hell, man. Genesis 27, verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may, wait a minute, that ain't the right one. That ain't the right one. Hold up, scratch that, y'all. 29:31, my chicken scratch. So Genesis 29 and verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. See this? Because Jacob didn't really want to deal with Leah because it says that she was tender eye, whatever that means. I guess she wasn't a looker like Rachel. So Jacob wasn't really fooling with her like that. But the Most High did what? Open her womb wide so her husband could have favor on her. He would say, you know what, man, this woman bringing me a bunch of kids, man. I got to start dealing with her a little bit more. It says, but Rachel was barren. And you remember how desperate she wanted kids. She did what? She went and got two of her handmaids like here. Well, one of her handmaids like here, Jacob, pop her off, get some kids. But my point going back is that it's a blessing to have children, not a damn burden, not a choice. I'm talking about some damn pro-choice. your murderous ass. What if your mama would have killed you? Think about that one. You wouldn't be here to make, oh, I got pro-child. You wouldn't be here to make that damn choice. Evil ass. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 14. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle, man. You see this? This was a blessing. But this is if we follow the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. He said that a man wasn't going to have, oh, he got a low sperm count, or he got genital problems. Oh, he got ED. He wasn't going to have that problem. It says a woman wasn't going to have what? Damn thyroid issues. When then they want to go and do what? Take her whole insides out so she can't have kids no more. This is common, especially amongst our people, man. That's all you want to do. Stop you from reproducing. That's a curse. But the Most High said that we were going to be blessed if we kept his law, statutes, and commandments. He says, there shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. What was the first commandment the Most High gave? He said what? Be fruitful and multiply. Why is it so important to be fruitful and multiply? So you can reproduce you. You can get a better replica of yourself to do what? To keep the lineage going, to keep the earth going, all of it. Everything's on a cycle. This is why Governor Abbott, Edomite that got a little sense. He like, man, if we keep killing off our nation, then we ain't going to have no more nation. Especially since we're trying to get everybody to mix races, to interracial date, to interracial marry. Let me get Psalms 113, verse 9. Psalms 113, verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. Who does? The Most High. And to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. So the Most High can open wounds. It says praise ye the Lord means what? This is not a downer. Oh, she's pregnant. Oh, we don't know what we're going to do. Such a tragedy. He says praise ye the Lord, meaning it's a blessing. It's something that they hope for, they wish for. You got all these people sitting up in these damn fertility clinics, can't have kids, paying all this damn money to get pregnant, freezing eggs and doing all kind of unlawful biological sorcery, trying to have kids. And you got these damn idiots knocking kids off, murdering kids. The hypocrisy of this place. Then be people talking about, well, I oppose the death penalty. But you at the damn abortion clinic. How does that go together? How does that make sense? Like the scripture said, man, ain't no damn, I'm going to read it too. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 8. Let me start at verse 7. And this is talking about a lot of other stuff besides my point, but at the end of this precept is where I want to get to. It says, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee. And this is talking about how Americans have brought all these nations over here to their country. Who are they? Arch sworn enemies, such as the Japanese of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You know, the bombs that they dropped on Japan that messed their damn atmosphere up for centuries. It's still messed up. I know the Japanese economy is probably booming, but their land is still defiled by them damn atom bombs that were dropped over there. But you brought them over here. Now, look at them now, bringing all these Afghanis over here. But you was just at war with them damn a year ago. damn 20-year-old war. But now they can come over here, be United States citizens. Y'all people is crazy, man. It says the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none. This is what I want to get to. There is none understanding in him. Meaning what? They ass is foolish. They stupid as hell. You killing off not just your enemies, us, because we weren't running to abortion clinics, mainly us, but they running down there too. It says, shall I not in that day, said the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom? And look at them. It's like all the Edomites that got some damn sense, they destroying their character. They're trying to discredit them. All the ones that's talking some sense, that's talking things that, like, make you scratch your head. And the Most High said he was going to destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau. The Most High then took their understanding from them, man. This is why you got so much back and forth with these people. This is why they fighting each other. I'm going to go back to this article. This is from NPR. It says, Federal Appeals Court temporarily restrained Texas' six-week abortion ban. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has struck down a lower federal court ruling that temporarily blocked Texas from enforcing its ban on abortions as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy. So what happened, y'all, I don't know if y'all been keeping up with it, but I think it was last week, a federal court, well, a lower-level federal court said that Texas law against abortion, they call it the six-week, what do they call it, the heartbeat law? Yeah, it's called the heartbeat law. They said that it was unconstitutional, and they overruled it. So they started, some places started killing kids again, murdering kids again. But this Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, a higher court evidently, said that they won't upheld the Texas ban on abortions as early as 6 weeks in pregnancy. So now it's back on. You can't murder kids no more in Texas. Okay, it says the Department of Justice now has until October 12th to reply to the ruling, and the ban remains in effect until the end. So October 12th, we'll see what's going to happen. It says before a lower court intervened, Texas was allowed to keep its abortion law, Senate Bill 8, in effect for roughly 5 weeks. In that time, providers say they were forced to turn away hundreds of people seeking abortion. So y'all turned away hundreds of murderers. It says, and I'm just interested. Now, I wonder what is the statistics on our people being there at the abortion clinics to murder people. I just wonder. It says, because most people don't realize they are pregnant until after 6 weeks, the majority of people seeking abortions in Texas were unable to get the procedure. Texas law makes no exceptions for victims of rape or incest. The only exception to ban, was to save the life of pregnant persons in a medical crisis. And, you know, people might have this argument, and I had this conversation with somebody, I ain't going to say who, put them on blast. But they was like, you know, it's like a catch-22 with this. I don't know how I feel because, you know, of incest and because of rape. And I understand that argument. I do. But, you know, I had to think about it. Remember the Most High says, let me get it, man. Let me get it. Because I feel the tension. I feel the tension behind what I'm about to say. But I want people to understand this before I even say it. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Now, the reason I read this scripture before the statement I'm about to make is if you got raped, God forbid, if you had some incest happen in your family to where you got pregnant, God forbid, then who caused it to happen? We cannot forget, y'all, the Most High is in control of everything. If you find yourself even in a bad situation, you got to ask yourself, what did I do to piss the Most High off to where he has me in this situation right now? That's what you need to be asking yourself. Before we can discuss whether or not you have an abortion because you got raped or because of incest, we need to be discussing that, man. Are you on the right side of the Most High? And then not just that, we got to understand that the things that we do affect our loved ones. So the Most High might not hit you directly for something you did that was wicked. He might hit your woman up, hit your husband up, hit your kids up, hit a close family member up. He might do that. We have to consider these things, y'all. So I don't want y'all with y'all jaws tight, mad at me, talking about, you know, Thompson Pye just ain't right. He a victim blamer. He this, he that. Remember what the scripture just said. That's why I read the scripture first, man. Because I know that's a touchy subject, but we have to bring the reality, the realism, the truth out in the matter. What have you done to the Most High to have the Most High come against you like that? That's why the scripture says, examine yourself whether or not you're being the truth. And we have to have closer examination of ourselves before we want to start playing like we're the victim. All right. Now, I don't know if y'all seen it. This weekend, I had the pleasure of watching it, and it was wonderful. And I'm talking about Dave Chappelle's stand-up, The Closer. Oh, my goodness. Gloves are off. His mask is off. He went in. He went in on these people, and what I liked about it was he was opening up saying that he was about to go in. He was getting you prepared. He was telling people to buckle their seatbelts, and I was watching it, and when I watch comedy, I observe everything. And you could see in the audience where it was a couple people, Edomites, up in the front, so-called white folks, Caucasians, whatever you want to call them, red people, who we loosely refer to as white. They were in the front, and they wasn't laughing. They were stone-faced, man. They were not laughing, man. But the things he was saying was right on point. It was truthful, man. And I always say this, man, truth is something that's proven. So the brother came out, he was talking about the rapper, the baby, allegedly, or I think it's been confirmed. He killed somebody in Walmart. It was self-defense. And he was the number one streaming artist on all the platforms until he made the remarks that he made at a Rolling Loud concert when he was talking about people sucking tallywhackers or rods in the parking lot and people who had HIV AIDS. He made those comments, man, and the 11 people came after him in force, man. And now he's been banned, put on the shelf, man. Nigga, I hope you save some of that money, pawn some of them chains. But anyway, Dave was bringing that out. Like I say, man, great time to be an American, right? So he's called backlash behind things that he said. But Netflix came out because a lot of people was demanding that they took his stand-up down. Netflix came out and was like, hell no, we ain't taking nothing down. Of course they ain't. Because look at this, y'all. And I'm not saying this because I'm pro-Netflix or they stand for something that's righteous. Remember, Esau always has an agenda. We have to remember, a lot of the programs that was on Netflix, the people who owned them removed them because they had got their own streaming services. And I'm talking about Disney had got their own streaming service, Amazon got their own streaming service.
So they took a lot of their material that they own off of Netflix so they can put it on their own streaming services. That's why all these movies Netflix started making. And they started having all these comedy specials and stuff. So Netflix was hurting. And they might still be hurting. I'm not sure if they've got them out of the red. But they have to keep coming up with this content. And all the publicity they're getting only make people go on there and watch it even more. So all their ratings and stuff is going to shoot through the roof, which may get them out of the red. Y'all think about that. So they not upholding what Dave stands for, trying to be righteous or anything like that. They're about the bottom line, man, which is dope, which is that paper. And I don't know if y'all heard this. I heard this, that Dave won his lawsuit with Comedy Central in regards to owning the rights of his show, the Dave Chappelle Show. And I heard Netflix about to pick it up. So they about to get more money, more money, more money, more off Dave Chappelle's back, man. So they ain't pulling nothing down. But in the aftermath of Dave's jokes, this happened. I'm going to play this for y'all.
Transgender woman.
Ain't this some shit. It's a commercial about a training. Here we go.
So comedian Dave Chappelle facing some backlash once again for including jokes about transgender people in the LGBT community in a television special. He has a new Netflix special out where he jokes about trans women's looks, about genitalia, tells a story about beating up a lesbian woman. Now Chappelle says that he is team turf.
And I'm sorry, if y'all ain't seen that, I should have said it. Spoiler alert. My bad. I'm late. Spoiler alert. Go check it out, though.
TERF, referencing for trans exclusionary radical feminist. Here's some of it. Cancel J.K. Rowling. My God, J.K. Rowling wrote all the Harry Potter books by herself. She sold so many books, the Bible worries about her. And they canceled her because she said in an interview, and this is not exactly what she said, but effectually she said gender was a fact. And then the trans community got mad as they started calling her a TERF. So I looked it up. TERF is an acronym. It stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. I'm team TERF. I agree.
Now, when he was saying this, man, I was like, what the hell are they talking about, man? I tell you what, Webster is a tired nigga right now. And I say that, man, because they keep coming up with words and acronyms. This nigga's working hard trying to define this shit. Excuse my French. But this place, man, is unbelievable at this point, man. But I'm going to continue on with this.
I agree, man. Gender is a fact. Right, so joining me now is activist and writer Raquel.
Now, he informed me of some things I didn't know. I didn't know about the whole Harry Potter thing, and the lady came out and said that gender was a fact, but that is fact. That's real.
Well, Raquel, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Now, this Raquel person he's talking about, Transformer, is in fact a training Transformer, but the thing about it is, y'all, she's black. It's one of our people. Wouldn't you know it? And this is what they do, man. They always put us against each other because they know, like Christ said, a house divided against itself shall not stand, man. We are our own worst enemies. And I also heard it was some coalition of black training people or something coming out speaking against Dave Chappelle. You know, what he said in his comedy special, spoiler alert, is true. He said that Martin Luther King would have got further if he told everybody to wear little short pants and slick themselves down with baby oil and be punks and dykes. He would have got further with his movement. And he compared it to the letter people's movement that they got going on right now. And how you can't say nothing about these people. I mean, or they cancel you. I mean, saying something about these people have deep repercussions to where they would destroy your livelihood. But anyway, this letter person he's about to talk to is in fact a trainee, one of us.
talk about some things here and why there's been such criticism and see what we come up with here. Because he made the joke. The critics are saying, look, you have to consider what's happening during this last historic year of anti-transgender legislation introduced at least in 33 states, less than a year after a record high number of transgender people, most of them trans women of color, were killed.
Now, you hear that? He's talking about the legislation, and I don't know if y'all heard, there's legislation right now that they've overturned, but it's regarding children in sports here in Texas. So they came with a law saying that children should play the sport of their gender, which I agree with. I don't want my daughter on the field playing soccer or volleyball with some damn man. Rightly so, man. Hold on for a second, y'all. Rightly so. Anyway, they're fighting against it, saying that these, wannabe training kids can play whatever sport they want to, regardless of their gender, man. Like I said, this place is damn crazy and filthy and wicked. I'm ready to leave, y'all. I don't know about y'all. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Yahushua's kingdom, ain't going to be none of this letter people, acronym, crap going on. Ain't going to be none of this. He coming to set the record straight, to set things straight. Niggas ain't going to be puffing L's and popping pills, and ain't going to be no twerking in the kingdom. I hope we understand that that's what we're praying for. Ain't going to be none of that, well, is it a he or a she, is it a it? Well, let me be politically correct and call it by its name. Ain't going to be none of that, man. Hold on for a second, y'all. Ain't going to be none of that in the kingdom. Anyway, let me go back to this. I'm running out of time.
What did you think, and you have to keep in mind, he is a comedian, right? What did you think when you heard this?
Well, when I watched the special, I felt kind of disheartened that he was continuing this attack on the trans community. Now, I think we love to say, oh, comedians are just telling jokes. Like, that's what they do. But I think it ignores the fact that they have platforms, and those platforms, the rhetoric that they espouse, has real-world consequences. For a lot of cisgender straight people who don't know trans people in their everyday life, their first interaction with trans people is through the media. It's through what they watch, through what they read. And so if the only things that they hear are these constant misconceptions about our experiences, demonizing words about who we are, saying that we're not women if we're trans women, saying that trans men are not men, and on, then they're going to actually bring that into their everyday lives. And that's why we see high rates of violence. At least 38 trans and gender nonconforming folks have been murdered this year.
No, he's trying to blame these people's deaths on Dave Chappelle, people like Dave Chappelle that speaks against all this letter stuff. First of all, like I always say, like I've been saying, your sexuality or what you present yourself is, that's your choice. That's a decision that you made. So there's consequences behind that decision. And whatever consequences come behind that decision, then so be it, because you chose that. Didn't nobody choose that for you. You made a conscious decision to do that. You want everybody to see you as you are, and you every woman, and you coming out or whatever the hell. Then you got to deal with the consequences behind it. Now, I don't condone murder. Let's not get it twisted. But whatever you got is whatever you presented yourself, that's what you had coming to you. Once again, I don't condone murder. But you had made the conscious decision to do that. So you got to deal what comes behind it. Like the old-fashioned saying, you made your bed. Now you got to do what? You got to lie in it, man. You got to sleep in it. Ain't nobody going to feel sorry for you or what you're going through because you made that conscious decision. And they always want to compare that to the struggle of the black man, to our plight, to the Hispanic man. It's like when it's not one and the same, because we didn't have a decision or a choice on what we came out of our mother's womb as. We can't change our skin. Like the scriptures even tell you, said, can the Ethiopian change his color? It tells you, can a leopard change his spot? No, ain't nobody capable of doing that. You are what you are. You what the Most High created you to be. So you can't change ethnicity. Race is not a choice. It is what it is, man. Like the saying that lady said, gender is fact, then race is a fact. Nationality is fact. But anyway, I want to pull that out about Dave, man, because like I said, I was impressed with the way he did it, man. When he did his comedy, he came out with it, man, and he took the gloves off. But you have a lot of people coming against him and all this other nonsense, man, but he spoke the truth, man. And once, going back to what I was saying, man, can these bones live? Our people are waking up, and this is a very joyous occasion, man. It's a great time to be an American. Anyway, man, I'm switching over now because I don't think I only got like 30 minutes. But I'm going to make it do what it do, man. I ain't going to get through this class, but I am going to definitely start on it, y'all. And this is a topic that it's been on my mind, man. And it's been hitting me, and it has hit me, you know, in the past, and even now, man. And it's titled, "Are You a Politician? The Gray Areas of the Congregation of Israel." Because when you have politics, you always have what's known as gray areas, and things you're just not sure about, things that's good for the goose but not the gander, people turning a dead eye to something that's going on because they benefit from what's going on, things of that nature. So I just want to talk about it and address it because this is nothing new, and I'm going to jump right into it. Let's go to Numbers chapter 16. We're going to Numbers chapter 16, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Now, we're going to do a lot of reading, too, y'all. I hope y'all got y'all Bibles handy. I'm going to dibble a little bit into Josephus also. So if you got a Josephus, pick that on up and follow along with me. But we're in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown." Huh. So we find out these men who were coming against Moses were what? They were famous. They were men of renown, meaning what? They were popular. People knew them. All right? I want everybody to understand that. These weren't just the average Joe Blow. They had stature or clout. They were renowned, which means they were known. Verse 3, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, and every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." So what he's saying is, man, Moses, you think too much of yourself. We Israelites just like you. We Levites just like you. You think too much of yourself. You think you better than us. So this is the spirit that Moses was dealing with. Now, let's go to Numbers. Stay in the book of Numbers, chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 1 just verse 1 to show you that Moses was familiar with this spirit because it's the same spirit. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" Y'all see this, right? It's the same contention. It's the same contention that Korah has with Moses. Now, let me read y'all this. We're going to go to the Josephus. We're going to switch over real quick. So we're going to book 2, chapter 10, paragraph 2. It's page 70 if you got the blue Josephus. And this is how we know that the Josephus be on point about a lot of his information, about a lot of it. Some of it, he not so much, but a lot of things he be like dead on. He helps you fill in the blank about things. Because in the scriptures, in Numbers chapter 12, it just tell you Moses had an Ethiopian woman, but you won't find in the scriptures where he actually married an Ethiopian woman. But it had to be a fact because they arguing it over it right now. Now, trip off of this. It says, Tobias was the daughter of the king of Ethiopia, of the Ethiopians. She happened to see Moses as he led the army near the walls and fought with great courage and admiring the subtlety of his undertaking and believing him to be the author of the Egyptian success. So you had this Ethiopian lady who was the daughter of the king keeping Moses out. She was admiring him. It says, when they had before despaired of recovering their liberty and to be the occasion of the great danger of the Ethiopians were in, when they had before boasted of their great achievements, she fell deeply in love with him. So she fell in love with Moses. And upon the prevalency of this passion, sent to him the most faithful of all her servants to disclose with him about their marriage. So she basically proposed to Moses. He thereupon accepted the offer on condition she would produce the delivering up of the city. So Moses like, yeah, cool, I'll marry you. But you and your people got to surrender. Look at Moses, man. Now, this was what? This was a political move. I want us to understand that this was a political move, right? But then this is before we get the Moses that led us out of Egypt, right? It says, he thereupon accepted the offer on the condition that she would procure the delivering up of the city and gave her the assurance of an oath to take her to his wife. And that when he had once taken possession of the city, he would not break his oath to her. No sooner was the agreement made, but it took effect immediately. And when Moses had cut off the Ethiopians, he gave thanks to God and consummated his marriage and led the Egyptians back to their own land. You see this? So I went here to prove first that Moses did, in fact, have an Ethiopian wife. We found out where he got her from, and to show that Moses was familiar with politics, y'all. He was familiar with politics. Now, let me read the definition of politics. It says, use of intrigue or strategy in obtaining any position of power or control, as in business, university, etc. So to be a politician is you use intrigue or strategy in obtaining any position of power or control. So that's what being a politician is. You're trying to gain things so you can get in a position of power, so you can control things. That's what politicians do, like in an election, when they're going back and forth. They pulling out dirt on their opponent to show people, hey, it ain't the guy you should follow. You should follow me. And they call these things strategies. Strategies are stratagems, right? They go back and forth to discredit their opponent. Well, that's what Aaron is doing right here, or Miriam and Aaron is doing right here in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. And it's the same thing Korah was doing in Numbers chapter 16. Now, let's go back to Numbers chapter 12. And anyway, I'm going to pick up in verse 2. I'm going to read it again. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And this is what a lot of people don't see. The Most High see everything that we be doing. Now let's jump back to Numbers chapter 16. And see Moses dealing with the same spirit here from Korah. So Numbers chapter 16, and I'm going to read verse 1 again. Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So they had their own little cheerleading squad, their own little followers. Verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Mean man, hey, we from your lineage, and we're going to get to that. We from the same tribe, we from the same nation. He says, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Why you think you better than us? Is what they saying. Now, listen to verse 4. This is the part I want to get to show that Moses was familiar with politics. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Why would Moses fall upon his face, man? It's just like, here we go. Now, listen to what he said. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he had chosen will he cause to come near unto him. So Moses is like, oh, man, here we go with this again. But we going to let the Lord decide. We ain't going to let your little cheerleading squad decide who's going to be leading Israel. We're going to let the Most High decide. I hope everybody see this. Now, trip over this 1 Timothy chapter 6. It puts you in the mind frame of Korah, man, where he was. And not just him, because remember, Miriam and Aaron had that same spirit on them, man. This lets you know that this is our people, man. We got that damn crab in the bucket syndrome, man, all day, every day. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let me start at verse 1. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Now, I want to clear this up before people get the wrong impression of what I'm trying to bring across. I'm not saying you shouldn't follow nobody, man. We all have to follow somebody. That's the way the Most High established it. The scriptures talk about being under tutors and governors until the time appointed. The scriptures also talking about having masters like we're reading right now, which means the person that's over you, the person that's watching for your soul. So I'm not against that at all. I'm against the politics, which the Lord, we're going to find out the Most High is against it also. So reading this again, it says, let as many servants or under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. It says, now listen to this, verse 2, and they that have believing masters. You see this? It's not a bad thing to have a master, but what type of master did it say you're supposed to have? A believing master. Believing in what? Believing in the scriptures. That all scriptures apply, and they apply to everybody. That there is nobody above the scriptures. I hope we understand this, because I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I went through it. The damn breakup of this camp here in San Antonio. That was the problem. You had somebody in charge that thought they were above the scriptures, that the scriptures didn't apply to them. And it shouldn't be like that. The scriptures apply to everybody. How do you know you have a believing master? Because that master, that head or whoever he is, he's teaching scriptures and he's subjected to those same scriptures that he's teaching. like the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 12 and verse 4, I think it is, where it talks about the word of the Lord is a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. That's why the scripture says, teach another, teach not thyself. These scriptures apply to all, regardless of position, rank, stature, or whatever. Nobody's above the scriptures, man. It says, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So these things teach and exhort. Teach the Bible. Teach the truth, man. Not your politics. It says, if any man teach otherwise, so somebody don't teach the Bible, don't adhere to the Bible, don't apply the Bible, and consider not the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord, Yahweh Shah, Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, godliness, you see that? Not according to wealth, not according to stature or position, but according to godliness, he is proud. Whew. Why is he not teaching the Bible? Why is he not applying the Bible? Why is he's making it out that rules don't apply to him, the Bible don't apply to him? Because what? Verse 4, he is proud. He's prideful. It says, knowing nothing. Think you know everything. Like Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, although I speak in different tongues and I can prophesy and I can do this, he named a host of things that he was capable of doing. But he said, if he didn't have love, he was nothing. That applies to us all. Because if Paul could say that, and he wrote damn near the whole New Testament, if he could say that by himself, then who are we to big up ourselves? Think we on some level. Like the scripture say, going back to the scripture in Timothy, so if somebody don't teach the Bible, adhere to the Bible, apply the Bible, think they on some level, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy. And this is why the envy be there, y'all. You have envy in camps, this is why I be there. Because somebody is proud. Because remember what the scriptures even tell you. In Proverbs, it says only by pride comes what? Contention. It says, and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. What's wrong with their mind? Their mind is corrupted because they're thinking about what? Their gain. What can they get? What do they stand to gain? It says, and destitute of the truth. What does it mean to be destitute of the truth? Meaning when their greed shows up, when their self-centered focus shows up, ain't no scriptures in their head. That's why I says destitute of the truth. They ain't exercising no scriptures. They're just doing what works for them, what's beneficial for them. It says, supposing that gain is godliness. Supposing that gain is godliness. Now, we read this earlier in Luke chapter 4. What was Satan offering Christ? What gain? But what did Christ say? He wasn't going to bow down to him. Just because you coming up and you having things, that don't make you godly. Especially as an Israelite, for as much as we bask and be mocking the church, pork chop eating pastors and all this and that, and they riding around in $1 million jets and fancy cars and whatnot, we be going at them. Why we ain't going at each other for this? Now, I'm not saying that you can't have things. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if that's all you care about is having things, and you don't care about the congregation, you don't care about upholding the law statutes of the Most High, this is what it's talking about. It says, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Don't be around that. It says, verse 6, now listen to this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So I'm supposed to be like Paul also said. He said he's learned to be abased or abound. He says, but content. And he's telling us here. If you're going to be godly, man, be content with what you have. You know, it's like the class I was going over, covetousness, which I don't even think I finished. I need to finish that. Be content with what you have, man, and appreciate that the Most High gave you what you have. And don't be self-centered. Don't be self-serving. Now, let's go back to Numbers chapter 16. What verse were we in? Verse 5, okay. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he had chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord do choose, the man that the Lord, listen to this, y'all, that the Lord do choose or does choose. He didn't say have an election. He didn't say the man that the people chose, but the man that the Lord chose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. So Moses is telling them the same thing they just told him. Like, man, y'all really think y'all on some level. Y'all think too much of yourselves. Verse 9. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the power or the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel? So he's telling them, man, y'all really think that the position the Most High put y'all in, because the Levites were the priests. They didn't have any inheritance. Matter of fact, the Lord was their inheritance, which is even better inheritance than what the other Israelites got. Law Yah, right, means join unto me. So they had a great inheritance. And this is why Moses had to remind him. He said, man, verse 9, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel or the power of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to him to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? So Moses is like, man, you think you got a small job? You don't appreciate what the Most High gave you. That's why I got that Timothy, man. Contentment is godliness. Korah was not content. If he would have been content and played his position, then we wouldn't even be reading about this. Verse 10. And he had brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. Like, dude, you want a little bit too much. Verse 11, and when he says the priesthood, he was after Aaron's position, as we're going to get to in the rest of the story. Verse 11, it says, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? See, because he wanted Aaron's position. Verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. So they went so far as to tell Moses, man, we ain't coming to hear what you got to say. We ain't coming to see the Most High choose up. Verse 13, it is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that flowed with milk and honey. And you listen to what they saying to Moses, man. They saying, it ain't no big deal. He says, it is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey. He says, no big deal you brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He said, ain't no big deal. No big deal. He said that Egypt flowed with milk and with honey. Meaning what, y'all? We was comfortable in Egypt. We were slaves, but we were comfortable. Reminds you of someplace? What about America? In the wilderness, except thou make it thyself altogether a prince over us. They thinking Moses did this. Moses didn't do this. The Most High appointed him to do this. And you know the funny thing about this is Moses didn't even want the job. He didn't even want the job. What did he tell the Most High at the bush? He like, man, I ain't eloquent in speech. They ain't gonna follow. Ain't nobody gonna listen to me. I don't know about this, Yahweh. I don't know if I should go in and tell these. They ain't going to listen to me. I love my people, but I don't know if I'm the right guy for the job. He didn't even want the job. verse 14. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flowed with milk and honey, or giveth us inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. He like, man, everybody can see what you're doing. We ain't coming up there. Now, verse 15. Matter of fact, before I get 15, I got enough time. Yep, 5 minutes. All right, let's go to Josephus now. I want to now dig into what type of man Korah was so everybody can understand what's going on. So page 102, y'all, for us that got the blue Josephus. If you don't, it's book 4, chapter 2, paragraph 2. And like I said, page 102. Let me hurry up and get this. I'm going to get to this point. I think this is a good point to end on before we continue next week. Here we go. It says, Korah, a Hebrew, a principal account both by his family and by his wealth. See this? So his dude's family was well known and he had money. It says, one that was also able to speak well and one that could easily persuade the people by his speeches. You see that? He could speak well, and he had the gift of gab. He could persuade people to do things. Sounds like what? To me, a politician. He says, saw that Moses was in an exceeding great dignity and was uneasy at it. He said, what it's saying is that he saw Moses held a very high position, and he didn't like that. He says, and envied him on that account. He was of the same tribe with Moses and of kin to him, was particularly grieved because he thought he better deserved that honor post on account of his great riches. He thought because he was rich, he should be in Moses' position to lead the people. He should be over the people. It says, and not in the fear to him in his birth. So he raised a clamor against him among the Levites, who were of the same tribe, and especially among his kindred, saying, that it was a very sad thing that they should overlook Moses while he hunted after them, meaning Moses gunning for y'all, and paved the way to glory for himself, and he made himself a king, and by ill arts should obtain it under the presence of God's commandment, while contrary to the laws, he had given the priesthood to Aaron. Moses didn't do that. Most High did that. He says, and not by the common suffrage, which means vote, of the multitude, but by his own vote. Y'all see that? So what did Korah essentially want the people to do? He wanted the people to take a vote, man, on who should rule them, who should be placed over them. He wanted them to take a vote. There's no different than what the nations do. They vote on everything. The Most High don't care about your vote. He gonna put who he wants to be in control. All throughout the Bible you read that. So, y'all, I just heard the 10-second mark. I'm gonna stop right here. This is a good stopping place. Let me mark my spot down because I'm definitely gonna come back and finish this class. When we come back, we'll go into Josephus and read this again. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, man. Want to thank Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast. Once again, y'all, if you find it on your heart to give alms, to give proceeds, to keep Blog Talk going, hit me or Mashaba up, y'all. And so we can keep the show going, man. You can keep getting fed, getting your spiritual food and whatnot, man. We greatly appreciate y'all listening in. 12 tribes worldwide. Hope everybody's healthy. And I want to say shalom, y'all.